Blessed be God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your body shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The earth bows down before you. reading from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work, then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride, for all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter first, say, peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us. He said to them, I have watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to depart from my norm in preaching this morning. Almost without exception, I preach from the scripture appointed in the lectionary of the prayer book. Today, I'm going to make an exception because I want us to think about this nation of ours on this 4th of July weekend. I want to have us consider and appreciate the uniqueness of this country. Now, you'll have to forgive me if I get bogged down in details a bit. You might remember that I wanted to teach history before being called to the priesthood. I've discovered a few facts about that first Independence Day, 240 years ago tomorrow. I'd like to share them with you. It wasn't as hot in Philadelphia that day as it is here today. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the temperature was only 76 degrees. The day was cloudy and humid. War had been raging for more than a year in the colonies. Lexington, Concord, Bunker Hill had been fought. Ticonderoga and Crown Point had been taken. Washington was in command of the army. The enemy had been driven out of Boston. And yet the colonies were still bound together only very tenuously. The Quakers and Moravians were opposed to war, period, because it was considered sinful. Pacifists and obstructionists were bold and outspoken in their opposition to the war. Tories, including many of the Anglican clergy, loyal to the king, were influential, had great wealth, and there were a lot of them. For 54 days, ever since May the 10th, the Provincial Congress had been busy at its deliberations over the question of whether or not the colonies should be free and independent states. It was a tremendous question that meant real danger to those who said yes. Any such declaration would be treason, punishable by loss of property, imprisonment, and probably death. In spite of all this, the majority of delegates were strongly in favor of separation. On June 7th, Richard Henry Lee of Virginia moved and John Adams of Massachusetts seconded this resolution, that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between us and the state of Great Britain is and of right ought to be totally dissolved. Then Congress on June the 11th named a committee to prepare a resolution which would state the proposed action of the colonies. It was decided that Thomas Jefferson would make the first draft. It was understood that the task about to be undertaken would bring the man who did it one of two things, either an execution or fame. And dislike as I do Jefferson's deism, which was quite current those days, though he was a nominal Episcopalian, Jefferson was probably the best educated man in the political life of the colonies. He was truly a Renaissance man, capable of many disciplines. Franklin was his equal in intellect, but not in the versatility of interest that Jefferson had. Patrick Henry had more dash and brilliancy, but apparently lacked the will to master any one subject. Washington's approach to any question was solid, deliberate, some would say plotting, and correct, always correct. But he lacked the far-sighted vision of Jefferson. Now, I've always puzzled as to why Franklin, at 70, the oldest of the signers, wasn't selected to write the Declaration instead of Jefferson, who was only 33 and comparatively unknown. One historian says the reason he wasn't selected was fear. Not the fear that Franklin was not capable or not sufficiently dedicated to the cause, but fear of Franklin's humor. Jefferson said that they were afraid that Franklin would put a joke in. Franklin had his joke anyway when at the time of the signing, Hancock said, urging unanimity, we must all hang together. And Franklin said, yes, we must all hang together, or we will pretty sure hang separately. So these 56 signers were going to be either patriots or traitors. The oldest was Franklin. The youngest was Thomas Lynch Jr., not yet 27. There were 18 lawyers, 9 merchants, 7 farmers, 3 physicians, 2 surveyors, a printer, a college president, and a clergyman. 3/4 of the signers were Episcopalians. 9 were the sons of clergymen. And every 4th of July is a tribute to those 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. But let me tell you, far more important than those men is the document itself. It is a blueprint of idealism, and it's a blueprint from which we still build our society. It is a blueprint which has its foundations in our Judeo-Christian heritage, and I don't think we should forget that fact. Though we hold religious freedom as a basic tenet of this country, it's very important that we realize that this nation is a product of Christian belief, belief in the freedom of humankind. Now, most of the time, I think we tend to think of freedom as a political concept. But in truth, freedom is, by its very nature, religious. Freedom is God-given. Freedom is God-given. Remember, God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, and he spoke a word of freedom. Go down to Egypt. Go to Pharaoh. Tell him, let my people go. 1,300 years later, the Messiah once again sounds the theme of freedom. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And St. Paul, writing to the church in Galatia, for freedom, Christ has set us free. This religious heritage of freedom shaped and molded the thoughts of our founding fathers. And I would suggest to you that this weekend is a time of looking back and giving thanks to God for that understanding of freedom which comes from God. It's also a time for looking ahead, looking to the future in hope. I know all too often these days we find a sense of despair, disappointment in our country. But this 4th of July weekend, we need to have hope and a sense of joy in our nation. The men and women who founded this nation had a vision of a society in which free people would live in peace and security. But they all knew that vision was not yet a reality. And all you have to do is look at our history to see that that's true. Jefferson declared all men were created equal, but he failed to define his terms. And we are still in the process of definition. The men he referred to as created equal were male, white, property owners, and taxpayers. And the majority of Americans then did not fit that description. A century later, following the devastation of a horrible civil war, or as some of us call it, the War of Northern Aggression, the black man was given the vote. But it remained until 1920 before women were considered equal enough to vote. 1922 saw the first Native American vote. And in our own lifetime, we've seen the heartbreak and struggle of minority groups seeking full civil rights. We are finally recognizing the rights of the LGBT community. And so the search for liberty and justice for all continues. This morning, we sang a little-known hymn from Lift Every Voice and Sing called Keep the Dream Alive, in which are the words, Martin's dream for all of us so set his soul afire and lifted him to soaring heights that he might with his God conspire to change the course of history, that all be brothers, all be free. Keep the dream alive. Keep the dream alive. I've called the Declaration of Independence a blueprint of ideals. It was dedicated to the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. This was not a blueprint for utopia, but a dream that there might be liberty and justice for all. So this morning, as we gather here at St. Thaddeus and give thanks for that dream, we do so in the belief that without God's help, our striving for freedom is in vain. And we ask that God will continue to bless us, that God will judge our failures, that God will forgive our national sins, and God will give us that perfect freedom which comes from Him alone. Please bow your head in prayer. Lord God Almighty, in whose name the founders of this country won liberty for themselves and for us, and lit the torch of freedom for nations then unborn, grant that we and all the people of this land may have grace to maintain our liberties and righteousness and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand with me as we profess our faith with the reading of the Nicene Creed found in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the special needs and concerns of this congregation. We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Lindsay Middleton and Samantha Guthrie. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially the victims of floods in West Virginia. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our prayer list. We pray for Margaret, Jean, Steve, Nicole, JR, Blair, Michelle, Joan, Kevin, Paul, Bree, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Russell, Jaden, Brent, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Wendell, Karen, Jeff, Regina, Irene, Larry, June, Michael, Joe, Margaret, Laura, Pat, Baylor, Dwayne, Shay, Randall, Margaret, Don, Ed, Doug, Cecilia, Ed, Pat, Sandra, Jack. Lord, in your mercy, we commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
prayers of your people and what we have asked faithfully, grant that we may obtain effectually to the glory of your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess
that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we know we have done. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may live by you.
Almighty God, to have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a couple of announcements. This being the first Sunday of the month, our wellness committee will be doing blood pressure checks in the wellness center after the service. So you're invited to go by there. Also being the first Sunday of the month, this is the Sunday in which the loose offering is designated for the rector's discretionary fund. In my hand is the latest issue of the Diocese of East Tennessee Connections. This is a relatively new publication coming out every other month, I think it is. There are copies of this in the narthex, and I encourage you to take one. Are there any other announcements to be made? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets and their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home.
By your will they were created and have their being.
From the primal elements you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. you made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another.
Have mercy, Lord, for we are sinners in your sight.
Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood he reconciled us, by his wounds we are healed.
And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. So, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, and Jacob, Leah, and Rachel, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name.
Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread.
Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we're bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power of the world, forever and ever.
Thank you. the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, remember that life is short, and we have too little time to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So be swift to love, and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.